Romans chapter 5, verse 6. I was thinking as he was playing, "Great is thy faithfulness." Do you ever just stop and recall the faithfulness of God in your life? Take a trip down memory lane and realize you are where you are by the grace of God. Every blessing you enjoy by the grace of God. I was thinking that as he was playing, "Great is thy faithfulness." One thing we can say about our God is he is always faithful. No matter good times or bad, he's always there. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Today we're going to talk about the uncommon love. The uncommon love of God. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 6. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates His love, His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to realize the great love that you have demonstrated for us. That you have made it clear for all the world to see how much you truly love them by giving your Son. And today, Lord, may those who hear this message, who do not know you as their personal Savior, may they turn to you for salvation today. And those, Lord, who already know you as their Savior, may we be reminded and understand the great love by which you have demonstrated to us. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, when I say uncommon love, I'm talking about a love that is very, very rare. A love that you would very seldom, if ever, experience firsthand. And, of course, we know we're talking about the love of God, but I want to talk to you about the other loves, first of all, that are mentioned in the Bible. There are several times different words in the Greek are translated as love. The first word is phileo, which is a brotherly love. It's where we get that term, Philadelphia, brotherly city of brotherly love. There's eros, which is a sexual kind of love, where we get the word erotic from. There's storge, which is a family type of love. And these are all fine. But the problem with these types of loves is that they have their limit. Have you noticed that? I mean, for example, this brotherly love. You have a good friend that you just love very much, but that friend does you wrong. I mean, he does you terribly wrong. And so you come to that point, well, if that's the kind of friend you are, I don't need you, and the relationship is terminated. That's the limit to that kind of love. Even family love. I've seen fathers disown children, children disown fathers and mothers, and family love has its limits. But the love that we're going to focus on today is not philo or eros or storge. It is agape. It is a love that is best displayed by God Himself. A selfless love that acts in the best interest of another, even when they don't deserve it. That's the kind of love we're going to talk about today. And the goal of this message is that everybody in here, whether you're saved, whether you're lost, everyone present today will leave here with a better understanding of the love that God has pointed your way. We start with undeserved love. Verse 6 of the text, I just want you to go back and focus on that verse 6 with me for just a moment. "For while we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for us." Have you ever known someone that did not deserve your love? You ever known someone that you looked at and you thought, "Yeah, I don't think so." Well, the Bible reveals two conditions mentioned here that I want to focus on. And that first condition is, first of all, while we were without strength. Basically meaning helpless. Of course, the idea is that we can't help ourselves, or we could not when we were in that position of not being able to help ourselves. Jesus helped us. And it's pretty easy to love and to help those who cannot help themselves. Do you ever do that? You look at somebody and say, oh, I feel sorry for that person. They just can't help themselves. So you run to the rescue. Maybe you give them money. Maybe do some act of kindness toward them that they can't do on their own. And you know, that kind of love, it makes you feel good, right? Makes you feel like, that's right. I helped that person. But what about those who can't help themselves, but they do not deserve your help? Have you ever looked at people and said, I don't think so. You're not worthy of my help. Well, see, that's what this is talking about when it says, when we were without strength and in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That word ungodly means they were enemies of God. Wicked. This is the person who is not only unable to help themselves, but they do not want to be helped. They're opposed to everything that God stands for. This is that kind of person that if you looked at, you would think, I would sacrifice nothing for that individual. He's a horrible person. Example. A homeless person. Now, I know I'm not categorizing all homeless people in this same spot, but I'm just using this for an example this morning. If there were a homeless person that you pass on the side of the road and you see this homeless man begging and he has a sign, it says, I'm hungry. Please help. So you see that sign and you know, I mean, this man looks rough. He's dirty. He stinks. He looks like he can just barely stand there. You know this guy is where he is because of abuse of drugs and alcohol. And you know you cannot give this man money because if you give him money, he's going to go buy more drugs and alcohol. You look at that individual and you think, well, I want to help you. And so you go to the local restaurant, whatever that restaurant is, Wendy's, McDonald's, whatever, and you buy him a meal. And you take that meal out to him and you say, here you go, I know that you're hungry and I just want to help you by feeding you today. And he looks at you and says, I don't want your food. You say, what? He said, I don't want your food. You said, but you've got a sign that you're hungry. I don't care. I don't want your food. Take your food. Just give me money. That's all I want from you. Just give me money. And then he begins to speak to you in the most vile manner. He begins to curse you because you're trying to interfere with his lifestyle. And he tells you, I choose to be homeless. I choose to beg. I choose to do drugs. I choose to be a drunkard and drink alcohol every day. I have made this choice. This is my life. You have no business of getting involved and trying to change me whatsoever. And you're standing there in awe. You know this man's in trouble. You know he needs your help. Or this man's going to wind up dead. You can see the needle tracks in his arms. He smells like a distillery. But this man does not want your help. Let's take it a step farther. The next day, you drive by this same man at the same street corner. Except today, you see a different sign. This man is on the ground being beaten by another man. He's being kicked. He's being stomped on. And you see the other man who's beating this homeless man pull out a knife. And he's rushing at this homeless man with a knife. And you know this guy is about to die. And you know the way he treated you yesterday. You know what he deserves. But you're facing a dilemma. Am I going to get out of the car and come between this poor homeless man and the guy with the knife? Do I get out of the car? You know this guy does not deserve your love. Hold that thought. I want to mention to you another love, a deserved love. Keep the homeless man in mind for me. Let's talk about loving those who deserve our love. It's what Paul did when he wrote verse 7. He said, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." Hey, let's set the homeless man over here for a moment, and let's talk about those who we would consider dying for. Okay? Those who, according to our standards, they're pretty good. It says scarcely. That means rarely. So as I look in this congregation today, I see people who appear to be good people, and most would look at you and think, well, he's a good fellow or she's a good lady. And when you look at people like are sitting here today, there are some people in our culture who would look at you and say, that's right, I'll die for you because you're worth my life. You're worth the effort. You see, the way this, it's kind of confusing the way this was translated. It literally means, for a righteous man, it would be rare for someone to give their life, but it would be possible that someone would die to save that good man. Okay? We'd look around here and there are people in this congregation today who would die for you. I'm thinking as I consider, and I'm sitting at that street corner watching the man being attacked, knowing if I don't do something, he's going to die. And I think to my wife, you know, if that were my wife that was being kicked, beaten, stabbed, there would never be a question. I'd come out of that car and he'd have to kill me to get to her. Why? Because I think she deserves my love. See, she had my children. And let's face it, she's put up with me for a very long time. She's lived with me a very long time. She's been faithful to me for a very long time, supported me for a very long time. I wouldn't have to even think about it. Yes, sir, I'd get out of that car to save her life. My children. If that were one of my kids, I would get out of that car in a heartbeat. If someone were beating them and threatening them, here we go, come through me once again. I'll die for them. And my grandchildren, we don't even need to mention them. I'll die several times for them. But did I look at that homeless man who cussed me yesterday? And I think that everything he stands for, I stand against. And I think about how he told me he did not want my help. I think to myself, you deserve what you get. And I stay in the car. Because see, I'm willing to have a brotherly love and help my fellow man. But having an agape love, boy, that's just putting myself at risk to save someone who's not worth saving. Would I put my life on the line for a drug-addicted, alcohol-guzzling man who was nothing more than a drain on society? Well, I don't think so. Then there comes that point where you got to demonstrate your love. Romans 5:8 is the demonstrated love. But God demonstrates His own love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That word demonstrate, it means to make known. You see, if you're going to love somebody, you got to let them know that you love them. And you do it by doing it. You do it. It's more than saying, I love you. It's your action. So God makes known His love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's also interesting to note that that word demonstrates its present tense. God, do you realize Jesus did not demonstrate His love 2,000 years ago? It's not demonstrated. It's demonstrates, meaning right here, right now, today. You say, Brother Doug, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. But you know what? That death that He experienced 2,000 years ago is just as powerful today as it was the day that He died. The blood that He shed on that day is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. You see, Jesus did not just die for sinners 2,000 years ago. He died for sinners right here, July 18th, 2021. Now back to the example. The example of that drug-addicted, alcoholic, homeless man, heathen that we talked about earlier. You know what that man needs? He needs help that he cannot get on his own. Somebody needs to take him into a facility, help him overcome his addictions. Someone needs to address his emotional problems. He needs to experience an uncommon love. A love that goes beyond and above. Now let's tie it all together. Everybody's attention. You're that homeless man. You are the person that is not worthy of the love of God. I am that person that's not worthy of the love of God. There is no reason in the world or in the universe that God Himself would come to this earth so that He could be crucified on the cross of Calvary, because that was the debt of my sin. And He would go to that cross, and as He looked at Doug Ambrick, He says, I know that boy's not worth it. I know that boy can't help himself. I know that boy, there's been times in his life that he has not wanted my help. I know everything that he is, every impure thought, every wrong deed, every sin he's committed. But I'm going to get out of the car and I'm going to stand between him and the devil and hell. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the uncommon love that I'm talking about. You see, it's easy for us to stand in our culture today and point our finger at everybody else around it and say, well, I'm not as bad as he is. I'm not as sinful as they are. Well, I'm not sexually immoral, and I don't steal, and I don't kill, and I don't lie. But I'll tell you what you do have sin problem. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you are helpless when it comes to helping yourself. You do not have the ability to drag yourself out of the gutters of sin. Bottom line is, if somebody doesn't do something, you're going to die in your sin and you're going to spend eternity in hell. What you need is somebody to love you. You need to meet the great physician. Doctors can't help. Churches can't help. Preachers can't help. Friends, family, none of those can help you. There's only one. The prescription that you need is called uncommon love. The Bible calls it agape love. That means in spite of what you are, in spite of what you deserve, that God loves you anyway. Now listen. If you're not saved, my goal with this message is very simple. It's not to beat you over the head with the Bible. It's to help you understand the great love and the great extent that Jesus Christ went to keep you out of hell. And if you are saved, the goal of this message is to remind you. You see, we've heard of the love of God. The love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We've heard that all our lives. And sometimes I fear that we've heard it to the point that we've become callous to it. Today, I just want every saved person, I just ask every one of us here today to back up and say, "Wow, Jesus, I'm that no good person that You gave it all for." That, my friends, is the love of God. If you ever question, does God really love me or you? Go to Calvary. And that removes every question. You see, when it says God demonstrates His love, the idea to that is not, it's not a show, it's a make known to you personally. God has made known to you personally, and I love the way it's actually translated here. He says He demonstrates His own love. This is the kind of love that God has for you. Listen, where there may be limits to my love and I may disappoint you, because I have a human kind of love, God has an agape love that goes the distance above and beyond your sin. Are you saved? If not, there's one more thing I want to tell you about love. You have to receive it. Listen, I can throw my love your way all day long, but if you won't receive my love, there's nothing I can do about it. Jesus has made known His love to you. He's made it perfectly clear how He feels about you. Question today is, will you receive that love? The love that was demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. Because you're a sinner. You know, that's the one thing the world needs right now. Is love. You know? I mean, there's enough hatred and strife in our country. There's enough. We need some love. And the thing is, it's there. It is there. For everyone to see. It is aimed at every individual. So you know that you're included. You know, have you ever been around those people that they just love those people more than they love you? No. God's love is for everyone. But you've got to receive it. That's why the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now what I'm going to do today is I'm going to hush. We're going to have a verse of invitation. And I'm going to close with this. If you want to be saved, you walk down this aisle, and I'll show you in the Word of God how to be saved. If you want to receive the love of Jesus. If you're here today and you know you're already saved, but you've taken the love for granted, Let me encourage you. This altar's open. Come and honor God on your knees for the great love wherein He's loved you with. My friends, let us all leave here realizing we have been loved by the greatest love that could ever be, the love of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And today we're reminded, my goodness, Lord, we want to love people who love us, and we want to be kind and gracious to those who deserve our grace. But Lord, Your agape love revealed You to us. That when we were still sinners, unworthy of Your love, enemies, Lord, of You, You died for us. Now today, I pray Your will be done in this invitation. May we never, never take Your love for granted. In the name of Jesus, I pray.